The light of peace. Open your Bible in Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Only one verse. It is our Advent verse. The light of peace. I have a homework for you as you walk out the church. Look to the walls and you're going to find this verse here. Okay? That's your homework. This verse is here in this church, on the walls of this church. Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Trisha, can we have the picture? Yeah. So, as we're going to read, just so you have a little bit of image, that's pretty much what it's happening there. The angels are announcing, verse 14, what are we going to read to the shepherds? And that's the scene of this verse 14. So now that you have the scene, let us read. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. That's what the angels said to the shepherds. Let us have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your word, the light of peace. Two beautiful words coming together, light and peace. And we just read the most of the beautiful words, the Bible. And in this beautiful spirit, may you speak to us today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The light of peace. Can you go to the next slide? Yes. So, church, as you know, my Canadian people, you guys love when I talk about the man, the blonde man of the South. Not blonde man of the South, the gray man of the South, Donald Trump. As you know, he is tackling all the wars he can tackle. All the wars he can tackle. And when you ask him, why do you want to do this? Because I want my Nobel Peace, what's the name? Nobel Peace Prize. He got so upset he didn't get it. A lady in Venezuela got it. So, he wants peace. And you need to give him the benefit of the doubt. Do you want peace because of a trophy? Or do you want a peace because you really care for peace? We watching this, we also want peace. Please say amen. You want to watch the news and talk about Christmas, not talk about war, right? However, there are those who really want peace. More than Trump, more than you, more than me. Who are them? The civilians. People in Palestine, people in Israel, people in Nigeria, those people really want peace. So whether for selfish ambition, whether for empathy like we have for them, whether because of suffering, everybody wants peace. Unless the person is very weird, everybody wants peace, okay? And that's what this text is going to talk to you about. There is peace for you, church. There is peace for the world. And it is amazing to me that the word peace has such a big impact. It is such a broad word. It has many layers. And just in one verse, you're going to learn so much about peace today. I am impressed with this verse. And I invite you to be impressed too. The first point of this sermon, it's the first lesson you learn. Oh, sorry. Thank you. Before we go that, just so you know that the theme of this verse, it is this. Peace arrives because a person arrives. Peace is not a thing. Peace is not comfort. Peace is not being cozy. peace has a name, and his name is Jesus Christ. That's what this verse is going to lead you to. So the first thing you're going to learn here, it is peace comes from above. Church, no, it is wrong. Peace does not come from within. I'll repeat this again. Peace does not come from within. Where do you feel? Pay attention to the question. Where do you feel peace? It's here, right? That's where you feel peace. That's where you feel peace. When you're anxious, the mind doesn't stop. When you're at peace, where do you feel peace? Here, here. Good. That's not where peace comes from. That's just the address. That's just where peace sits. But peace does not come from within. Peace comes from above. That's the first line you read it. Glory to God in the highest. The idea is that heaven is giving peace to you. Human cannot fabricate peace. Positive confession cannot produce peace. Gifts cannot produce peace. Dreams fulfilled cannot produce peace. Yoga, who knows what I'm talking about? Yoga cannot produce peace. Peace comes from above. Glory to God in the highest. That's the very first thing you learn here. So now that you know where peace comes from, let us see what is the meaning of the word peace. Okay? Do we have it? Okay. Peace is shalom. I believe all of you know this word, shalom. It's a biblical word, a Hebrew word. So, church, peace is shalom. Peace is not an emotion. When you look to the English dictionary, type the word peace, and that's the answer you're going to have. Comfort, absence of trouble, calm. All emotional words. All things that are feeling-oriented, heart, mind. That's the English understanding of the word peace. If you want to go to your neighbor, if you want to go to your friend, ask them, what does peace look like to you? Probably they're going to give you an answer that flows around those words. What is biblical peace, church? The word shalom doesn't mean anything, nothing to do with emotions. It has everything to do with completeness. What is shalom? It means that all the areas of your life, it's in harmony. All the areas of your life are going forward, not backwards. That's the meaning of the word shalom. In the biblical mind, church, the Hebrew people are relationship-oriented. Very much like the Brazilians and Latinos. We like people. Everything, if our relationship are not well, you can give us a mention. We don't care. We much rather be in a hotel, sleeping on the floor with people we love than to be in a house mentioned by ourselves. That's the idea of the word shalom. Completeness. All the relationships of your life, they are well put together. Your relationship with God, shalom. Your relationship with your neighbor, shalom. Your relationship with creation, it snows. You don't curse the snow. You shovel the snow. Can you say amen? Or you pay someone younger than you to shovel the snow. Say double amen. Amen, amen. Your relationship with creation is well. Your relationship with yourself. it is well. When you look to the mirror, you don't feel ashamed. You don't feel self-conscious. You don't feel guilty. You are at peace. That's the biblical understanding of peace, completeness. All the areas of your life are well put together. And with that, you already know everybody longs for peace. Peace comes from above. Peace is relational. Shalom means all the areas of your life are well put together. It's the third point. Peace is relational. Read with me. Verse 14 says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men. Do you see that peace doesn't finish the subject? Well, as soon as God says there is peace, he says peace for you, peace to men. Peace is relational, church. The same idea that the word shalom carries, it is what the text is trying to imply to you. And if peace is relational, peace is not universal. I'm going to repeat this one. If peace is relational, peace is not universal. There is two ways people understand this verse. One, it's very wrong. And I'm going to tell you this one now. Universalism. What is universalism, church? It is the belief that because of this verse, God sent Jesus to men deliberately, recklessly, no matter what, everybody will be saved. Everybody will have peace. You can do your life the way you want. There is no right, there is no wrong. There is no right religion, there is no wrong religion. Everything is true or nothing is true, and everything is okay. And no matter what, everybody's going to have peace because this verse says God is giving peace to everybody. But that's not what the text is teaching you. If peace is relational, it gotta be a two-way road. Is that how we say? Two-way street. Not just a one-way street. If peace is relational, it is implied you need to receive peace. If peace arrives when a person arrives, it is implied that person needs to have space in your heart. That person needs to have a saying in your life. That person, Jesus Christ, needs to be the Lord and Savior of your life. Because peace is relational. You cannot have a relationship, you cannot have peace if you don't know the person. If people don't know who Jesus is, if people reject Jesus, they will never have peace. Peace is relational. That's what Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2 teaches you. Gabriel the angel came to Joseph and Mary, and they said what? The Savior is coming. The Prince of Peace is coming. Beppy. Okay. Here. No. I hope she's fine. Lord bless Peppy. Amen. Yeah. So, when Gabriel the angel came to talk to Anne and Joseph, they said what? The king has arrived. The Savior has arrived. Mary had the choice. I don't want him in my womb. Joseph had a choice. I don't want to be the one teaching him. But that wasn't the choice they made. What was the choice they made? we accept the king. The shepherds, the angels announced, the king has come. The shepherds had two options. Good, great, we're going to keep our work. Or, wow, the king has come. We're going to go there and we're going to see the king. What did they do? They chose the second option. We're going to go there and we're going to see the king. And we're going to worship the king. Magi from the east, from very far, they saw the star. The king has come. What did they choose to do? We're going to follow the star. We're going to meet the king. We're going to worship the king. Later in chapter 2, you're going to see Jesus in the eighth day being presented in the temple and being circumcised. Joseph and Mary, they meet two people in the temple, two elderly people in the temple, Simeon and Anna. Both of them get Jesus in the hand, and what do? They say, now we can die at peace because our eyes have seen the salvation the Lord has provided. Peace is ultimately, church, relational. The Pharisees never got peace, yet they were always in the temple. The religious leaders never received the peace, and yet they were always in the temple. Peace is relational. If shalom means your life needs to be put together with God, with your neighbor, with creation, with yourself, shalom starts with God. And the way we start having peace, it is by receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior, and making Him the Lord of our lives. Peace is relational. So that's the heart of this message, which finishes with the fourth point. Peace is the absence of hostility. Church, read with me the word favor rests. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests. When you think about the word favor, you think about the word grace. That's what you think. But that's not the main idea that this text is trying to teach you. If you understand the word shalom being peace and it's all relational, when you think about countries, the word peace has nothing to do with relationships. The word peace has everything to do with war. Okay? Again, right now, we Canada, we are on a trade war with the U.S., when you look to my country, Brazil, it is not safe, very dangerous. But Brazil is considered a peaceful country. Why? Brazil never goes to war. Our army just do gardening. They don't do anything else. That's it. We don't go to war. We probably will never go to war. Brazil, it's known to be a peaceful country. It is a mess inside. Terrible. Corruption. Dangerous. But when you think about the country, when you think about the borders, when you think about the relationship between one country with the other, there is peace. That's what the Bible is talking about. From heaven, God sent His Son. There is no hostility. The borders between heaven and earth is peaceful. God could send his son to condemn the world. We are all sinners. He never did that. God chose to make peace with us. I'm going to say this again. God could have sent his son to condemn us. He did not. God chose to send his son to make peace with us. In the borders of heaven and earth, there is peace. If Jesus is in your heart, heaven is yours. You can cross the border. There is no trade war. There is no problem. And when you look to this text in its context, the Romans promised peace to everybody. Romans are the ruling empire in the days of Jesus. And what it was the peace of Rome, church? The peace of Rome was the sword, was the cross. Guys, as long as you guys behave yourself, as long as you guys don't bother me, you guys have peace. Rome is here to protect you. However, if you guys try to act up, if you guys don't obey the rules, if our soldiers comes to you and demands you guys to walk an extra mile, and you don't walk the extra mile, you guys gonna feel our sword. Our cross is gonna come to you. And we're gonna read the things. That was the peace of Rome. It was a peace that it wasn't relational. It was a peace that wasn't kind. The terms of the peace was very simple. This is not peace. This is slavery. Rome is the boss. You guys are the slave. Behave yourself. You have peace. Don't behave yourself. You guys are going to have trouble. When you look to this text, God provides better peace than that. God provides better terms than that. The way God provides peace to you and I, church, it is not recklessly. It's not deliberately. God is so kind. God is so kind that he gives people the choice to reject peace. That he gives people the choice that people are going to do this. I don't want Jesus. I don't want peace. That's how kind God is. His peace is a person. His peace is relational. And his peace, it is the absence of war. Believe in Jesus Christ. Receive Jesus Christ. And you have peace. I want to give you two illustrations, church. It really depicts this text. First illustration, and this is more common in Canada than in Brazil. Everything is wood here, so everything gets fire so easily, right? So, imagine you are in a house burning. What will give you peace? The firefighter that comes. He doesn't talk to you. He grabs you in the waist and he takes you out of the house. That's it. Straightforward. Peace arrives when the firefighter arrives. That's our situation, church. Hard to say. Fire was waiting for us. Hell was waiting for us. The world was burning. Thanks to God, Jesus came like a firefighter and took us by the waist and took us out. Thanks to God to bring us to heaven, to give us true peace. And the second illustration, if peace is absence of war and salvation, and if peace is relational, this is the second illustration we have. In a house, how many of you were kids like me? How many of you would wake up in the night, nightmares, and then cry to dad and mama? How many? Okay, I did that. And every time a kid cries out because they are afraid, dad and mama comes, and dad and mama don't do anything. What do they do? Everything's fine, go back to sleep. And the kid, automatically, what do they do? Okay, everything's fine. And they go back to sleep. That easy. Why? Peace arrives when a person arrives. Our relationship, church, was broken. With God, with our neighbor, with creation, with ourselves. Jesus has come. Shalom has come. Our relationships were restored. Glory to God in the highest. And thank you, Jesus, that peace has come. Beppy, are you okay? God bless you. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the peace that surpasses all the understanding. Peace that guards our hearts. Peace has a name, and his name is Jesus. Glory to God in the highest, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Amen.